Welcome to the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, where you'll get actionable tips and advice on major gifts, direct response fundraising, legacy giving, and much more from leading experts in the nonprofit sector. Now, here are your hosts of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, Andrew Olson and Roy Jones.
Hey, good morning. This is Andrew Olson with Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast. We're coming to you today from the CityGate Network Conference. Enjoying that in beautiful Palm Springs, California. And I'm really excited to have my friend Paul Spence, who is Vice President of Development at City Gospel Mission with us today. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, man. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Hey, I enjoy being here. Thank you.
Before we get into the major questions that we have, I'd love for you to just give us a little bit of background on yourself and on City Gospel.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always God's story, right, and God's journey. And so I left college, became a teaching tennis professional, just teaching in a tennis club, worked in a Christian publishing company. A person approached me on the street and said, "You'd be a great director of the mission." And that's all it was. I stuck in my heart. I started to pray about it, went down to the mission, fell in love with the people, and at 26 years old, became an executive director of a small mission in Nebraska. Did that for 9 years, and I said, "God, what's next?" And 30 minutes later, I got a call from City Gospel Mission in Cincinnati looking for a VP of development. And went home, I asked my wife, and her quote was, I said, "Hun, what do you think about Cincinnati?" And word for word, she said, "When do we go?"
Huh.
So Cincinnati for 12 years now.
Awesome. From tennis instructor to serving the homeless. That's an interesting arc.
It's God's sense of humor, right? Yeah.
And give us a little background on the mission.
The mission is 74 beds for emergency shelter for men.
Okay.
Feeding services, obviously, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of the year to people in the community that need it. We have recovery for men and women, 40 beds for men and women. We have a Jobs Plus program that is career development for people on the fringe that can't find meaningful employment, that have those barriers of no vehicle, some kind of a record, other poor employment history, they think they have a lack of skills, those kinds of things. And then we have a robust youth program that we serve 3,500 at-risk kids in greater Cincinnati. We food and shelter, and we do recovery, and we do jobs, and we do at-risk youth.
So one of the things that I really enjoy and appreciate about you is that you're always looking on the horizon for, you know, to spot early trends and to identify new opportunities. Talk to me a little bit about why you think that's so important.
Yeah, I think I equate development to working on a beach. You can't set up a house on a beach because the sand is going to shift. And that's what fundraising is. There's always something new. There's, you know, with Katrina introduced a text to give, and that was a new trend and a new fad, but you know, that has since gone away. We keep hearing about the decline and the death of direct mail. It's not there yet, but for us, we're putting a lot more emphasis on go online in our direct mail that wasn't there before. Digital, if you're not doing it, you're in trouble. And these things weren't around 21 years ago when I started in development. I mean, you did an event or two, you worked with major donors, you talked to people about their estates, and you sent direct mail.
Huh.
There were four channels. If I count all of our channels now, we're at 15 channels and counting.
Wow.
That we have to communicate with and give people avenues into giving. And so 15 will become 16 in a year and become 18, and we'll cut off two of those older ones, you know, and won't do those activities anymore, but we'll be doing new activities. And so, yeah, reinventing, staying ahead of the curve, staying relevant, being able to tell your story louder and better than everyone else in the field is extremely important.
So I want to pause for a second on that statement, telling your story louder and better than everyone else in the field. I think oftentimes organizations bristle at that idea because the idea of being loud seems maybe offensive. Give us your perspective on that.
Well, you know, I just equate to my kids. I look at their activities and how am I going to penetrate into the young millennials and the new generation, because they're on YouTube, they're on Hulu, they're on Netflix, you know, they're on their social media channels. I mean, I can't reach them any other way than to be loud and to be proud about our stories. And so if I can do it in the media and I can do it over a 3-day period, you know, if we can broadcast it out on Facebook and ask people to repost, to tell their stories, to stand up anywhere we can and shout from the rooftops, you know, City Gospel Mission is doing phenomenal work and you need to hear about it. It's life-transforming stories. It's God's stories. And so not only is it getting community attention, but it's sharing kingdom work.
Very cool. So I know you're a big fan of innovation, and we've already heard a little bit about that. But you know, that means that you're testing and trying all sorts of stuff, right? And I don't know how many times, but I think at one point you and I talked and you said you had a list of like 30 test ideas or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And not all of those can work, right? I mean, some of them might be amazing and they might be, you know, they might carry the ministry for a decade, but some of them are bound to be bombs, right?
Yep.
So how do you keep yourself and your team motivated in what might seem to them like a constant state of change and a constant state of risk?
Yeah, and it I would say it's calculated risk. But we carve out space, and we need to do those activities that are going to bring in revenue. It don't stop doing those things. And so I'm not saying divert from any of those things. But carve out a time, 10%, 2 hours a week, 4 hours a month, whatever it is, to sit down with a team of people and talk.
Okay.
And talk about new ideas or how to make things that you're already doing better.
Okay.
And I love having naysayers around the table too and saying that won't work and asking, well, why not? Expand on that. Is it a feeling or is it fact? And then really trying to research those ideas. And so, yeah, I have a stack of things, a notebook full of ideas, some that, you know, are 5 years old and may never get used.
Sure.
And some that are 3 or 4 years old and we pluck and say, now's the time to do that.
So give us an example of one of those things that maybe everybody around the table said, I think this is a crazy idea, but it's actually worked for you.
So yeah, crazy idea. I can give you lots of examples of things that didn't work.
Sure.
But one that did work for us was a program called Kicking Hunger that we're still doing today. So we had a high school football player that went on a mission trip and came back and said, God's moved me. I want to do something in my own community. I want to do something for the homeless. And I want to do something around football because that's what I'm good at.
Okay.
And so he was a high school kicker. And so we said, well, let's create Kicking Hunger. Can we support this kid and raise some money this year and raise awareness? And so we knew it was a little bit, you know, well, it wasn't going to raise a lot of money that year, but cool awareness and something new breaks us into the Friday night high school football, you know, arena.
Sure.
And gets us in a place where we have a new audience. And so we did that. Hans Heinbach, great name for a football player. We supported him in his first year, pretty successful. And we said, okay, well, you're a senior. You're going to graduate. Got to know the coach, talked to the coach. And the next kicker was interested. And so Gunnar Nixon, I mean, so.
These are some great names.
Great,
yeah.
Great names. Great, great marketing, right? So we got Gunnar. But we also got a rival school.
Oh, okay.
And then so in the third year, we said, well, okay, this is going pretty well. How can we expand this? Can we get the conference to do it? And can we show up Friday nights at games? Will the school allow us to have a presence and on a, you know, table? And when these kickers play each other, say, who do you support? And the money's going to Kicking Hunger. And then we found out that the ADs let us take it one step further, and they announced us at halftime, and we got to pass buckets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's, you know, six kickers that year raised $10,000.
Okay, yeah.
And so we're up to about 12 kickers now, and we're raising anywhere between $15,000 and $20,000. So it's a modest moneymaker, but the families put the effort into it.
Right, and you're also building that awareness for anybody who sits in the stadium.
Yeah,
right?
And these kids have an activity that they were involved with. We bring them down, and they actually have a year-end banquet with Men in Recovery.
Okay.
And they get to sit alongside people that they've helped. So it's life transforming for the kids too.
That's really cool.
You know, they understand what kind of kingdom impact they've had at 18.
Yeah.
And what is God going to do with the rest of their lives? And so it's becoming a really cool program. We hope that it will become a phenomenon in Cincinnati, and it will continue to expand. But who knows? Who knows where God will take it? Maybe this will be an innovative activity that sees its day and it goes away in 2 years. I don't know.
So with all that, you know, kind of focus that you have on innovation and change, how do you balance that with the need to be focused on the things that drive the greatest amount of revenue in the shortest amount of time?
Yeah. And so my rule of thumb for that is 3-to-1 return. Can we get 3-to-1 return out of this activity?
Okay.
And if we can't, we really evaluate, is there marketing reasons? Is there building friendships or building relationship reasons? Are there other reasons to keep that activity other than revenue?
Okay.
And so that's kind of our evaluation point. We also have a metric, you know, we bathe it in prayer. Can we speak the truth? ROI, are we building lasting relationships? And so we have a few questions that we ask with any activity to kind of evaluate that activity and decide, is this something that we keep?
Okay.
So one that didn't work, you know, we did kickball for 3 years, and it was I'm talking about events. There's lots of other things that we've done besides events that haven't worked too, but kickball was one of those things. We thought, okay, the millennials will come out and want to play kickball, and we can get their corporations to sponsor.
Oh, okay.
Didn't happen. Okay. It was all the 40 plusers that wanted to be 18. They came out to play kickball, and their companies sponsored modestly. We raised $8,000 every year, and it was okay.
Okay.
But the return on investment wasn't there, and it took a lot of time and effort and distraction away from other activities. And after 3 years, we said, tried that, we're not going to do it anymore.
So that's an interesting thing, because I think oftentimes when we walk into an organization and do an evaluation, we see some sort of, you know, legacy programs that might have been in place for 20 years and maybe have never generated net revenue. Yeah. Or generate a little bit, but certainly don't offset their cost. And often the conversation is, well, we just need to keep that because, you know, somebody in the organization loves it, or we think that, you know, there's a special volunteer who would be really offended if we killed that program. So organizations sort of perpetuate waste in doing that. You found a way to kind of kill the sacred cow if you need to move on.
Yeah.
How do you advise an organization to really be real in that and not just continue to do wasteful things because they've always done it?
So great example of that. We've been around for 95 years, founded by James Gamble of Procter & Gamble. So we had the James N. Gamble Society.
Okay.
It was kind of our mid-major donor program. So donors could get in at $1,000 and they would be part of this society, this James & Gamble program. And we would mail monthly to them and keep them abreast of what was going on the mission and things like that. It began to dwindle. And so we had, when I first started 12 years ago at this mission, we had about 1,200 members, and then it dwindled. And in about 5 years' time, we saw about 300 members, and went to leadership and said, hey, I think we need to change this. It's not resonating with the donors anymore. It doesn't have the same appeal that it used to. I mean, everybody knows Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati, but nobody has affinity for James Gamble any longer. And they said, but we've always done it, you know, and it's a legacy society and people want to be a part of it. Well, 300 people want to be a part of it. And so the discussion is, do we want to be stuck in the past and go down in flames eventually? Or do we want to innovate and create something for the future? And so Partners of Hope was birthed, and it is our sustainer program now, and it is going extremely well.
Awesome.
We changed the parameters of how you get in. It's not no longer $1,000, but it's a monthly or quarterly donation. And we have about 2,600 members of the Partners
in
Hope. It's a big difference, yeah. And it's inspiring to people to be a part of that. We have a bigger group. They're very socially active, a lot of them. And so they're posting on Facebook and other things. And they're privileged to be a part of Partners in Hope. And
very cool.
They become really great advocates for the ministry.
So as you think about growth for the organization, what do you see as the sort of the next phase? Where are you headed? Where do you see the market heading? What are you thinking about in that respect?
Yeah, I love if anybody hasn't tuned into Simon Sinek's Infinite Game talk.
Okay.
And that infinite mindset, that's really where I've turned my thinking is to, you know, God doesn't have an end date. You know, the ministry has been around for 95 years, so it obviously predates me and it will postdate me. And so how can I set this ministry up for the future, for the next person that takes over for me? I don't know what my season looks like. And I ask my boss every year, am I still the guy? I don't want to stay too long for this ministry. I want to be where God wants me to be. And I want to do the right thing for the ministry. So I'll stay as long as God keeps me. But that infinite mindset. And so we have a goal. We're an $8 million budget right now, annual goal of raising $8 million in the organization. We have a $12 million
goal
as a stopping point to refocus and reset and then start again. But it's a pause point. It's not a stopping point. And so I don't have goals that I say I need to attain that and stop. We need to attain that, evaluate, and move on. And so that infinite mindset of how do we position ourselves for the unknown future, for 15 years from now, for 30 years from now, until Jesus returns, how do we position ourselves now for that time?
Okay, very cool. So last question I have before we let you go, you know, a lot of organizations that certainly I've worked with, and I think this is probably fairly general, struggle to embrace sort of a growth and innovation mindset. There's either the sort of, we've always done it this way, or for one reason or another, we don't think we can grow. We don't, you know, it's just not in their DNA. Do you have any you know, tips or thoughts, recommendations for an organization that might, you know, maybe somebody there wants to grow, but they don't know how to break out of the, sure, you know, the historical mold, yeah, that's there? What would you recommend?
Get out of your own way. Everybody has preconceived ideas of what will work and what won't work. When we rebranded, City Gospel Mission has been our name, you know, but everybody calls us the Mission. And so I wanted to test the mission of Greater Cincinnati, along with City Gospel Mission, along with a few other names. And we were finishing a merger with City Cure, our youth ministry, okay, that we had merged with in 2001, and this was 2007, and we still had basically two organizations within the ministry. So we tested all these names. And if we had gone with my version, the mission of Greater Cincinnati, we would have chosen the third best. Huh. But we asked the community, what do you think? And they said, City Gospel Mission is still relevant. You've been around forever. And people that didn't really, that we didn't think knew us, we asked strangers, what do you think about this? And they said, well, we've heard of City Gospel Mission. We think you do good things. They didn't really know what we did. We asked our donors, they said the same thing. We asked staff and board, they said the same thing. Mm-hmm. So don't trust your own ideas. You know, test it, evaluate it, ask good counsel, get out of your own way. I went kicking and screaming into telemarketing years ago. You know, I thought this is intrusive. This is a bad idea. We're going to offend a lot of people. But I looked at the data, and the data was suggesting that telemarketing works. And so we found a great partner. We tried one call in August. We had
one actual call
to a group of donors, oh, okay, but yeah, okay, yeah, one effort, okay, one effort. So we decided, hey, let's call all of our active donors in August and tell them about Summer Slump Matching Appeal. It increased our response rate 77%.
Wow. That's pretty huge.
And I thought, I'm glad I got out of my own way.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just do a shameless plug. Who is that phone partner that you use?
Gateway Communications.
Okay. Those guys are awesome.
They're awesome.
And so anybody, yeah, who's listening, if you need a partner in the phone space, Paul sounds like he would attest to this, and we've used him as well. Gateway's great. Sort of playing off this question, I know I said that was the last one, but it made me think of another. How do you convince maybe a skeptical executive or board to give you the leeway to test these kind of things?
Yeah. So the famous one that we always hear, right, is that when boards that don't understand fundraising look at acquisition and say, it costs how much and how much are we losing? Mm-hmm. To really sit down with people and help them understand that, okay, this is the rhythms of development. Please just open your ears and open your heart and learn. You don't know this space. I would love to teach you this space. But I would also, at the end of this conversation, love to hear your opinion, because with fresh eyes, you can probably offer something to me that I don't already know.
Very cool.
So create a conversation.
Awesome. Hey, if anybody who's listening to this wants to have a conversation with you personally about these ideas, what's the best way for them to reach you?
$90 an hour.
Awesome.
No, I'm kidding.
Actually, his discount rate is $89 an hour.
No, and the space that I'm in too is that God gave me these things to train me up to give it away. You know, and I steal things from other development directors all the time because I don't have always the best idea. And it is a kingdom mindset to say, hey, we're better together, right? You know, if we share ideas, we can make things easier and better for all of us and really provide resources for kingdom. So if anybody ever wants to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to talk. My cell phone, 513-205-0098. Send me a text. Tell me you want to talk. I'm at PSPENCE at citygospelmission.org.
Awesome. Paul, thanks for being here today. Really appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, brought to you exclusively by Newport One. Newport One can make a difference in your fundraising so that you can change the world. You can always reach us at podcast@newportone.com. Please take a moment to rate this episode on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. When you rate this episode, it will help more nonprofit leaders just like you to help find us and get the information that they need to raise more funds for their organization. Thanks again for listening today.